Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tim May, of course he knows it, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Make sure you read him on Letterman Row. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm sorry. I was holding for the free hot dogs.
Free hot dogs, that's coming up a little bit later with the show. We'll have those at 201. 201.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'll call back. Thank you.
Tom Withers is in today, Tom, just so you know. Jeff is off. So, you know, we always like to throw.
Tom Withers.
We always like to throw a little.
Tim May, one of my favorite guys. You know, there's not
the
a whole.
Man. The man with the new knees, right?
Oh, look,
I got
at that.
One. Yeah, I got one. I didn't know you realized that. I got to tell you, Tim, there's not many things I miss about the AP beat. I will tell you this. I miss the days where I would sit next to Tim May, whether it was at a kart race at Burke Lakefront Airport or an NCAA game in any arena in Ohio or a Mid-America tournament game. Well, anytime I sat with Tim May, it was a better day.
My favorite photo I ever shot with a cell phone. Well, that was one of my favorites. I shot a couple at Oakmont last week, which were interesting, but was of Tom Withers sitting as a forlorn, almost iconic figure in Quicken Loans Arena or whatever it's called now, with these three guys who were in charge of tearing out the floor after the MAC tournament was over. Sitting there staring at him, wanting to know when is he going to hit his deadline so they can finish tearing out the floor. It's an iconic photo.
Oh.
It's like Rushmore, but with just one guy on it. Well, I guess there'd be four on it because of the three malcontents plus Tom Withers.
They tore it out around me. Remember that? Yeah, that was quite a night.
Wait,
it was literally like a man. He ended up being a man on an island, Andy. It's pretty sweet.
Man, I don't know who else would be on that Mount Rushmore. If you had to pick one other from Columbus, Bob Baptist, who would you put on that Mount Rushmore? You can only pick one. I'll let Tom pick another from Cleveland. Ooh, that's a tough one too.
You know what?
Wow.
You got to go to the guts. You got to go to the guts of what makes media. And I would probably put Paul Moose Spahn on that Mount Rushmore.
You are probably playing golf with him right now. That's why.
No, I'm not. As a matter of fact. Speaking of being on the hill, first he had a thing he had to deal with this year mechanically inside, you know, and then he falls and breaks his wrist a week and a half ago.
Ooh.
And so my regular golfing partner has been on the fritz almost the entire year, so I've been having to make do.
All right, I'm not going to put Tom under the gun and make him pick another writer in town because
no,
that's not fair.
No.
All right, so Tim, there's a part of me that wants to talk to you about golf from last week, but I'm not going to. I want to talk to you about Ohio State. And there's just so many things going on right now. And all right, let's start with Ryan Day, okay, and the scheduling.
Ryan Day.
You know who he is, right?
Okay.
We're good with him?
Yeah, I'm just trying to flip my brain. You know, I'm 71. I have to flip my brain into that chapter. Go ahead now.
Okay. So, you know, he talked about scheduling, what was it, earlier this week. And, I mean, your thoughts on the way scheduling should be in the future for major powerhouses. Let's put it that way.
Here's the thing. If you're playing 9 Big Ten conference games, which Ohio State has been doing for a little while now, the Big Ten has been doing for a little bit now, yes, SEC, you can do it without things falling apart. I don't understand that. But that means you're playing 9 Power 5 opponents right off the bat. And I think it always works to your benefit to play one, if you can schedule it, and then the schedule happens. Play one big time opponent from elsewhere in the country. And I'm not in this ilk that is pushing this Big Ten SEC alliance when it comes to scheduling, because like last year, if that'd been in vogue, what if your schedule had you play in Mississippi State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like Clemson or somebody, would that be, you know, would people think that's good? I mean, Toledo beat the hell out of Mississippi State. So, so I'm not really into just because it's Big Ten versus SEC. That's the way you should go, because you can have mismatches and all kinds of like ho-hum games in that regard too. But you should play somebody decent. We all know we all know the preferred schedule this year for Ohio State would have been Grambling, Ohio University, and then Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But that's the way it's set up. It's kind of like flipped to a certain extent. It's Ohio, it's Texas, Grambling, and Ohio University before you get into Big Ten Conference play. So, but yeah, I mean, getting that all right from 1 year to the next is difficult. And yeah, they're scheduled to play Alabama in, what was that, 27 and 28.
Yep.
I'm holding my breath right now that that happens because there's a lot going on, and we've seen them be scheduled before to play SEC opponents like Georgia and stuff or Tennessee, and then those things get blown up because somebody needs an extra home game or something. So, you know, it all looks good on paper, but until you get to the execution part. But yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you don't want to, you can't play Alabama, Georgia, and throw another one in there, Texas, as your non-conference opponents, and then play your conference opponent. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, the SEC especially. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, I think you did. Tim, I'm going to go a little with a broader question here, if I could. I mean, college sports doesn't look anything like it did when you and I began, and it hardly looks like anything that we saw even a couple of years ago. We recently had this major settlement between the NCAA and, you know, all these lawsuits and what have you. Where are you on where things are at right now? I mean, obviously the NCAA does not mean what the NCAA used to mean. We don't really seem to have a governing body, so to speak. It's kind of the wild, wild west. We got NIL. You talked about scheduling. There's just so much going on. Just the state of college sports in general. Where are you at with things?
Well, it's like the settlers, you know, settled our massive country. It's like, when they came over from Europe and then they were in the United States for a little while, and then they got on Conestoga wagons and went west. And they went from civilization to, what the heck is this, to then civilization kind of catching up to them later. Right now, you know, the House settlement, for example, it wasn't even – I don't think it was even a 48-hour ceasefire. Might have been. Might have been a 72-hour ceasefire, but you already see what the you know, what's been proposed, and yeah, it's outrageous, but what's been proposed in the Michigan legislature about, yeah, but we're not going to adhere for Michigan State. We're not going to have to adhere to these things. We're going to, you know, we're not going to necessarily agree with the NIL clearinghouse, the NILGO, as they're calling it, and the CSC. We're going to like still do our own thing, much like Tennessee's legislature has already given them the ability to do that if, in fact, they decide to go another round and talk about Tennessee and or Vanderbilt. So this is just a lull. The House settlement was just a lull because on the Tim May show, I had this guy on, Jim Cavalli, who's part of an organization that has been organizing and continues to organize, not student-athletes, because in his mind that's a vulgar word. It was designed to keep student-athletes down on the farm, so to speak, and not allow them rights. That term was, even Walter Byers agreed that that was a mistake later on in his life, the guy who helped found the NCAA.
But
the bottom line is this is not even the calm is already gone. Now there are going to be lawsuits galore about whether you can restrict how much you can give student athletes, for another term, college athletes, in terms of NIL compensation, because if I'm a car dealer and I determine, let's just throw a name out there, Jeremiah Smith is worth $500,000 a year to me, for me to be associated with him due to his following social media and everywhere else, he will bring customers into my business. I truly believe that for $500,000 a year, why can't I pay him that, you know? Mm. And that's until these guys become contracted individuals, you know, with a collective bargaining arm to it to give them certain rights, you're going to continue to have lawsuits and stuff challenging this House settlement and some of its ramifications.
All right, Tim, let me talk to you about actual players on the field here for a second. Will we have a Smith after Jeremiah Smith, or maybe even for one? I don't know if we'll get them for 1 year together, but it sounds to me like Jeremiah's brother, Angelo, is going to have the opportunity to go to Ohio State. He's a defensive back. Thoughts on that?
Right. Well, I think that's the greatest thing about him is, number one, he's obviously talented because he's already been offered. But number two, He's not playing the same position, so you don't have that juxtaposition of this guy next to this guy, but are they the same thing? They aren't necessarily the same thing, except they are from the same bloodline, and you got to figure, you know, although if you compared me to my older brother, you'd be really, well, he's passed now, but I digress.
The Griffins, line is, right?
Yeah.
The Bosas, the Smiths.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bosas came, the Bosas, in my opinion, got better from one Bosa to the next in terms of just pure pass rushing talent. You know, you got the Styles on there now, Lorenzo Styles Jr., who you guys remember his dad. Lorenzo Styles was middle linebacker at Ohio State. Lorenzo Styles Jr. went to Notre Dame to begin with as a wide receiver, came back to Ohio State, and, you know, he's in the corner rotation. He's going to be, I think, his last year this year, but he transferred back a couple years ago. He's going to be in the corner rotation. He was also their nickelback guy, which is used half the time, you know, in modern college football, just like in the NFL. But now he's, you know, he's where he belongs on the defensive side of the ball, and along with his younger but much bigger brother, Sonny Styles. And so, brother combinations sometimes work out extremely well. It's rare that two brothers are the same or of the same ability or even ilk. You've got to go after, the proof is in the pudding. Now, with that said, Ohio State, I don't think finally even offered Antoine Winfield Jr., which I thought was one of the great gaffes.
Yeah.
Of the last, since Urban Meyer took over back in 2012, late 2011, they didn't offer Antoine Winfield Jr. He turned out to be as good as, if not better than his dad. And his dad, in my opinion, pound for pound, height for height, is the best defensive player still I've ever covered at Ohio State. That guy was built to knock your block off. Almost said something bad there.
You didn't, though. And we would have deleted it anyway. So,
hey, Tim,
you would have?
Yeah, I would have dumped you. I would have
capability. What if they miss it? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
It's all good, Tim. Hey, yesterday I sat through the Surviving Ohio State documentary on HBO, and I was just curious if you've seen it yet, and whether you have or haven't. Has there been an early reaction in Columbus to it? I thought it was, as painful as it was to watch, I thought it was very well done. Obviously, a very dark chapter in Ohio State's history.
I'll be honest with you, I have not watched it yet. I'm not going to watch it. Haven't had a chance to do it. But it's tough. It's tough when you hear about all these things. It's really tough, you know, when you're sitting there and you're covering sports at Ohio State. But I mean, I mainly covered football. And then you don't hear about this for 20 years. Yeah. You're going, I mean, I don't remember even hearing rumblings about this, you know. And then you find out kind of like, I'm not going to get into it, but one of the reasons it was brought in the first place, the complaint, it kind of bothers you too. But that's another story for another day.
Right.
It's troubling anytime you see anything like that. I mean, just like with the Michigan State scandal and you've had similar allegations made about a Michigan doctor, you know, with the University of Michigan way back when, which
kind of come to light. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to hear that that's happened a lot of places, you know, but I'm going to refrain judgment on what the actual documentary brought, because I know it was probably, and it should be, mainly from the former athlete's point of view and stuff.
It is.
But, you know, back when the investigation was going on, we had other people on at the Dispatch, Columbus Dispatch, when I was working there. Other people were working on that. But I remember running a couple of athletes who were part of the wrestling team and other things who poo-pooed the fact that this ruined people's lives. So, you know, it's almost a subjective thing when you get right down to it, because they might not have been subjected to the same thing other people were.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's indignation no matter what, that if in fact it was brought to people's attention and nothing was done about it just for the sake of reputation, that bothers you every time. Go ahead now.
No, I was going to say, even if you saw the Jesse Owens movie, but I didn't feel too good about the football program when Jesse was there. If you watch the movie, I mean, like I felt like I got punched in the stomach because I couldn't believe what I was watching.
And I moved up here from Alabama and Texas. I, 11 years Alabama, 11 years Texas. And, people always cast a funny eye at you when you have a Southern accent, like they assign all these things to you. And I go, well, I'll tell you that story some other time. But bottom line was, racism was going on everywhere in the United States. Some of it was masked better than other places. But it's just difficult to believe that was going on, in the liberal North back in the 30s, but 20s and 30s. But it clearly was, along with other places. Mm.
Tim, thank you. As always, we always appreciate your time. We'll be talking to you soon.
You know my famous line, right, about being a coach?
Nope, give it to me.
I could have been Jesse Owens' track coach. Just think how famous I'd be right now. Run, Jesse, run.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Tim.
Thanks,
thank
Tim.
You. Appreciate
see you,
it.
Bye. Tom.
Tim Bay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
And then Tim May from Letterman Row was also with us. We just talked to him, and he had some, just really interesting stuff about what's going on with the Buckeyes and, the legacy of the Smith family, which is going to increase if Jeremiah's brother decides to come to Ohio State. He's got an offer from Miami, too, so we'll see what happens. But Ohio State officially offered him just the other day. I'm always fascinated by these announcements that kids make on social media. I've been offered by. Remember, now it used to just be. Well, I'm going to, or I've decided to, or this is the hat I'm going to wear. Now it's I've been offered. Where? What?
I don't know. Crazy. I don't know where things got off the rails, but they're completely off the rails. I got to talk about Tim May for a second, just
sure,
because.
Yeah.
And I meant that when I said that to him. It was always so refreshing when he would walk into the room when he would be up here on assignment with the dispatch and. Obviously, Tim is a character, and he comes across that way on the radio. I wish people that knew him like I know him as the diligent reporter that he is, the connections that he makes with every person that he's around, that he covers, the respect that he has gained through many years on the beat. He is one of a kind.
I spent a number of years, the great part about working in Columbus at the time, the Wolf family that owned like all the media down there, Channel 10, Dispatch, BNS Radio, among other things, a major bank still to this day, that WBNS, that B stands for banks, my friends, that when they had a plane that we would take to all the Big Ten games on Saturday morning. We'd all meet out at the airport in the morning. It was a King Air, right? And it was always, the plane was separated by, for the most part, the newspaper guys, the TV guys, and then the radio guys. We all sat in kind of like
sure.
1, 2, 3.
It's like the lunch tables. It's
the lunch table at school.
Cafeteria, right.
But the great part is, so like I would always sit up close towards Tim, and these had propellers on them, right? So we would always laugh because it would just, at least once a season, the pilot would come out and they'd be skeptical about Jim Lachey and Jim Carsados at the time, rest his soul, that they would sit at the back of the plane, and the back of the plane would be way down. As we all sat in the front of the plane,
out a little bit,
so
yeah.
We had the guys had to sit on certain sides of the plane, so they made those guys go.
Comforting before you're taking off when they're worried about the balance of the plane, right?
No, and like you'd land at Penn State, and it was like the hardest landing of all time. But you think about how lucky you are that you get to fly on a private plane and just fly over for a game and then come back.
Yeah.
For all those Ohio State Saturdays, and Tim is a fantastic writer, just absolutely fantastic. So always a pleasure to have him on the show. Can we talk about the Guardians here for a second? So the Guards, coming off there, or they're still out west. They will be in Sacramento for the first time ever in the team's history as they take on the A's. But it seems like the A's are the nomad baseball team where you don't even see the word Sacramento in the standings. It just says A's, which is very bizarre to me. Just your thoughts on where the Guardians are right now. They took two in San Francisco, which I think it was kind of what the doctor ordered. Let's see what's coming up next.
I agree with you. I thought it was, as I mentioned earlier, I thought it was positive that they got some good starting pitching. Vogt leaned on his bullpen like he did all last year. They won a couple of close games, right? You know, yesterday they bring the Festa kid who's been in some high leverage situations, and then he brings in Enright after him, which he kind of had to do because he had kind of burned, you know, Gattis and Class A and Heron and Cade Smith the 2 days before with a long road trip. You got to keep that in mind, right?
Right.
So they put Enright in a high leverage situation, gives up a double down the line, 2-run double. You know, they can't pull it out, but I thought overall that, you know, the Guardians got back to being themselves a little bit over that 3-game span. I think the good thing for them is that, you know, while they've been struggling, so has the whole Central.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's been playing well, including the Tigers, who have like a 9.5 game lead right now.
Right.
But they've been struggling as well. And so, you know, you're hanging in there. You're in second place. Still some major problems with this lineup, though, Andy. Difficult to score. Again, as I mentioned earlier, your margin for error is so thin on a game-to-game basis just because you can't get any production. Now, I guess the good thing is that when you look back at their last game here on their most recent homestand, you know, they knocked the heck out of the ball, right? Scored 11 runs, I think.
Maybe the heat ball.
Maybe the warmer weather. As you guys know, you know, the warmer weather in this ballpark makes a huge difference, right? The ball carries differently. You know, those games, I don't have to tell you, those games in April and May in that ballpark can be really tough to...
It's funny, we're not talking about the way the stadium was revamped this year with the wind tunnel. We haven't really, no one's really talking about that at all. Because they haven't scored enough runs to make you want to talk about it.
And it hasn't been warm enough to even talk about that at all. So by and large, I've been, you know, more positive over the last couple of days. Now, that's not to say that they haven't got a long way to go. And there are still some major issues with this lineup. I mean, you know, you're still getting this unbelievable year out of Jose Ramirez. And Stephen Kwan is still the one of the best leadoff guys in the game, but there's problems throughout.
I thought yesterday, despite the fact they lost 2-1, that was huge for Kwan because he hadn't had a hit since last Friday.
No, he's been struggling a little bit.
He had two hits against Seattle on Friday night, and he was 0-for the trip after that until yesterday where he came up with three hits. It was 3-for-4.
And to your point, it was the lack of those quality at-bats you usually get out of him, right? I mean, there were some lazy flies to left field. I think Chris Jimenez mentioned it yesterday that he pulled the ball in one of his first at bats, which was a good sign. Like he was at least able to get around on something and wasn't having those little silly flyouts to left field. So, hey, look, still a long way to go. I know we all, you know, everybody kind of looks at the All-Star break as a real juncture in a season, and rightly so. I think by then you have a good sense of what your team's identity is and what your weaknesses and what your strengths are. And, you know, if this team is serious about making a legitimate run and building off of what they did last year, they're going to have to make a move or two at the deadline. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, they're in Sacramento, right? And it's just, it's weird because you're talking about a place. And in Tampa, I think we get it because we saw the roof come off the stadium. And who knows what's going to happen? Sounds like they're going to get bought by someone from Jacksonville.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on still down with them.
Do they? Jeff and I had this conversation.
They move to Jacksonville.
Why couldn't they move to Jeff's like Jacksonville can't handle that. They can't do that. Why would anybody want to do that? They need to stay in Tampa. And I'm like,
they could become the Jacksonville Tampa Rays and become like the Kansas City Omaha Kings and playing two different ballparks. Who knows?
Remember they were talked about that. I remember having Brian Anderson saying that they talked about perhaps playing some games in Montreal.
Anything's possible.
I don't know. And they are having trouble drawing folks.
And to your point, the A's have not played well in this new temporary home of theirs, right? While it's being built in Vegas. I think they've got 14 wins or something. So this is a good weekend for the guards to maybe, you know, get their feet under them a little bit more and come home, you know, really feeling good about themselves.
I wonder how that's going to play out, too. I wonder how that plays out in Vegas for baseball.
Oh, I think it'll be fine. I mean, there's so much money in baseball. There's so, you know, it's still a growing populace. I think people are hungry for baseball. We wondered what hockey would be like there, and they won a Stanley Cup quickly, didn't they?
That's true. It just seems...
It's odd. I know.
It just feels weird.
Yeah.
Hey, I want you to know you can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel and watch all of the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every weekday. I'm going to talk about sports and frustration when we come back. We'll do that. Baskin and Phelps, Tom Weathers is in today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.